I imagine there was a little touch of nostalgia as you read it or saw the story about the last Raptor coming off the line, huh?
Oh, it was, Francis. I've been with the program since its very beginning. You know, this is the most capable fighter we have in our U.S. inventory. It's sad that we capped the production at 185. It was a decision that we're living with, and one that I think is limits the capability of our Air Force and our nation to be able to penetrate hostile airspace whenever we need to. But anyway, we're looking forward to the F-35, which will be the next step. But we're going to miss the full inventory of F-22s.
Now, the original plan was for the F-22 for 750 copies. Give me kind of the thumbnail about why that didn't happen and we're ending it at 185.
Well, I think the number 750 was an initial number that, originally it was going to replace sort of one for one all the F-15s that we had. I don't think that was ever a practical number because the F-22 is so much more capable than anything else in the world. We had settled on a number of 383 when I became the chief of staff of the Air Force. I think 383 was a good number based on our worldwide commitments, and as we have watched now, the high-tech challenges from throughout the world advance. I think we're going to probably regret not having a higher number than 185. But that's where we are.
You mentioned the F-35, and that aircraft has gotten a lot of attention in the last couple of weeks and months, and the issues that DOD and Lockheed are dealing with on that aircraft, and one who does not live these things as you did and continue to do might think that that's the only thing that people are focusing on right now. Where do we stand as far as the major aircraft programs that are either in production or on the boards today?
Well, the F-35 is the only thing we have left now. And, of course, it goes to all three services. There's going to be a short takeoff and landing version that goes to the Marine Corps, a carrier version that goes to the Navy, and, of course, the conventional version that goes to the Air Force. Testing has gone much better over the last year or so for the F-35, but there is still significant risk in F-35 testing. We're actually entering some of the most critical and most difficult parts of the testing, even as we're going into production. And you've read about this concurrency of testing and production as an issue. And in this stage of the F-35's development, I would say that it's very likely we're in for at least one more surprise in the testing. It would be typical for this phase of testing for an airplane. So, we have to stick with this. It's the only thing we have left at this point.
Well, and that phrase the word that you use, typical, is something that I think is interesting because there are a lot of folks that are looking at this program and finding the challenges that the contractor and the DOD are dealing with to be particularly egregious. And it sounds like that's what they're experiencing is not necessarily unusual.
I don't think so. I mean, look back to the F-15. We had big engine problems initially with the F-15. You may remember we had very low mission capable rates, and we had airplanes out there without engines in them. You remember the F-16. It had the fly-by-wire control system that we had some initial big issues with. We lost airplanes with that as a result of that. With the F-22, you just heard about the oxygen-generating problems. And these are things that we overcome with new aircraft, especially new high technology aircraft. It's just typical of the development process. Well, with the F-35, we have probably agreed to take more risk in the testing, even as we're going into production, than in previous models. And that's why I say that with the F-35, there's probably a little bit more danger of an additional surprise than with previous models.
Do you think the F-35 is a sufficient aircraft to take us through the life that it's expected to have?
Well, a lot of that is yet to be seen, Francis. We have to go through the testing. It's certainly a very capable airframe, and I think all three versions have their virtues. I'm most familiar with the conventional version that the Air Force will have, and I think it's going to be very capable. It is not an air superiority fighter like the F-22 is, and it doesn't have all of the qualities of the F-22. But as part of the high-low mix, which was the original intent, with the F-22 being the high-end and the F-35 being more air-to-ground oriented and not quite as capable in the air-to-air arena, it was a very good choice. We're going to depend on it much more heavily now, and we're just going to have to see as testing progresses if it lives up to its expectations.
The aircraft geek in me has to ask you, what is it like to sit in the cockpit of an F-22 and take it up?
Well, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, I sat there at higher than 50,000 feet looking at displays that was telling me virtually everything that was going on around me. All the things that you'd ever wished you had been able to do were presented before me, and it was a remarkable event in my life, and one that I'd spend my whole career trying to get to that point, and I was happy we finally were able to get there.